Take Off Those Pounds with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi, I'm Sabine.
And I'm Adam. Welcome to the 41st episode of Robots. In today's show, we'll be speaking with Corey Kidd from Intuitive Automata about his weight loss coach robot that can help you take those pounds off and keep them off, and may take your Roomba's place as your new robotic best friend.
Perfect timing with the holiday season coming up and all the yummy dinners you'll be eating pretty soon. Speaking of Christmas, we'll be giving away two kits for beginners, which will allow you to build and program some hyperactive bug-like robots offered by Diddle SA based in Switzerland. You'll need a soldering iron, so make sure you have that handy. We'll be telling you more on the contest at the end of today's episode. But first, as always, let's listen to the latest news in robotics from Christine.
Thanks, Sabine. You may remember our interview with Marcus Fisher, head of Festo's Bionic Learning Network, earlier this year. The German industrial control and automation company has now released a video of an autonomous kite, which showcases some of Festo's advanced mechatronic actuators and control systems. The kite has a bionic wing filled with an aerostatic lifting gas and is engineered to autonomously and intelligently cope with strong and turbulent wind conditions, with the ground station servo motors periodically switching to generator mode to recover energy from the steering motion. Any excess energy from the kite's compliant guy ropes is redirected to batteries, making this a truly autonomous kite. Swiss robotics company Arimaz has just launched its desk friend robot. The small-wheeled Penguin is a robot pet with built-in social networking skills. Like most robot pets, it will react to shaking, poking, or scratching, and can dance and sing you songs. What's special about Pingo is that she's a Facebook addict, accessing your Facebook account, delivering updates, and reading your messages out loud. In a twist on the once wildly popular Tamagotchi pets, Pingo requires interactions and gifts delivered via Facebook to stay happy. The robot toy comes with its own Facebook application and retails for $149 or 101 euros. This year's All Japan Micro Mouse Contest has seen a robotic mouse beat the 5-second barrier. The Micro Mouse event pitches small robot mice against a 16x16 expert class maze. The robot mice have to be completely autonomous and get a total of 5 runs of the maze. If things go as planned, the mouse will map the entire maze and figure out the fastest path in its first run. Once it knows the maze, it makes speed runs to try to get from start to finish in the minimum time without crashing. The new record was set by Kato-san's blazingly fast Tetra Micro Mouse, using a highly unusual design with 4 wheels, each with their own servo motor. For more information on this episode's news, including videos of Festo's autonomous kite, the Pingo robot pet, and the lightning-fast Tetra Micro Mouse, visit the forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Corey Kidd is a recent PhD graduate from MIT's Media Lab, where he studied human-robot social interaction and the use of robotic interfaces to help people lose weight. He'll be telling us about how his prototype robotic weight loss coach drastically improves the chance of success when losing weight, as well as his company, Intuitive Automata, that will be commercializing the product.
Hi, Corey. Welcome to Robots Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself to our listeners.
Certainly. I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Intuitive Automata. We build interactive robots for long-term healthcare applications.
Long-term healthcare applications. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. The area that we're working in is right now behavior change. So helping people to make changes to their long-term behavior and stick with them over long periods of time. The particular product that we're working on now is actually a weight loss coach. So as you're probably aware, in most developed nations in the world, there are a large number of people who are overweight or obese and are trying to lose that weight. And it's really challenging for people to do. And the same issues in weight loss apply to a lot of other healthcare challenges, particularly when we start looking at handling or managing chronic diseases. The underlying issue is you want to make some change and be able to stick with it over a long period of time. And so the coaches that we build help people to do exactly that.
You're looking into using robotics specifically for this. Maybe before we get started, tell us a little bit about your type of robotics, sociable robots. What is a sociable robot exactly?
Well, the easiest way to put it is it's a sociable robot understands something about how people interact with each other. A lot of the work I've done over the last 8 years is looking at not only the technology, but just as importantly, psychology, social psychology, understanding how people interact with one another, how people interact with technology. I started off running a series of experiments looking at what are the similarities and differences with people interacting with a robot and a human, or a robot and an animated character. Those two comparisons are something we know a lot about. One of them is, of course, psychology. The other is human-computer interaction, HCI. Both are well-established fields. And I started off running a series of experiments that, for the most part, looked at what are the differences or similarities between interacting with a robot versus the character on the screen. We ran a number of studies, but just to summarize briefly, found two very interesting differences that have led into the work that we're doing now. One is that when someone starts interacting with a robot or an animated character on the screen, and often we would use characters designed to look and act exactly like the robot, typically run with the same software, someone's more engaged, more drawn into the interaction with the robot more quickly. So that's not really a surprise. You bring people into a lab, there's a certain effect of, oh, cool, I get to talk to a robot. So there's a novelty aspect there. But the interesting part is that even after that novelty wears off, that engagement continues to last for much longer with the robot than it does with the character on the screen. So that's one difference. The other big difference that we see has to do with getting information from these characters. So if the robot or the animated character is trying to convey some sort of information to a person, these studies have been done with different types of information, you know, lessons, health information, different sorts of things. When the information is coming from a physical robot, people find it more credible and more informative. They find that character to be more trustworthy. Now, if you ask people, if you ask anyone if they would do this, most of us, you know, we want to think of ourselves as rational beings. You know, of course not. It's the information I'm listening to. It's not where it's coming from. But the fact is, there's a very significant difference between the two. And there's a good analog in terms of how we interact with other people. If we look at studies from psychology, we see the same sort of effect that comparing two people interacting face-to-face versus over email or IM or video conference. The more immediate that other person is, you get these same sort of effects. You find that person to be more trustworthy. You find what they're telling you to be more credible. But we see the same sort of thing in robot versus a character on the screen. The robot is seen as the more immediate thing. So it's more like interacting with a person that's there in front of you than the character that's just on the screen is a virtual thing that may be there in front of you.
So let's talk about this question of embodiment a little bit more. You're comparing, an animated character on the screen that may look like the robot's face and a physical robot itself. What do you think is important in the physicality of the robot? Is it to have an actual head or to have eyes that can move around? Because from what I saw of your robot, it's not exactly a giant humanoid robot. It's more of a box with a head that moves around and some eyes and stuff. What are the important aspects that help engage with people that should be present in a robot, in a sociable robot?
Well, at the most basic, just having a physical presence is what makes a difference, as opposed to being a virtual thing on the screen. Beyond that, then, I think it depends a lot on the application as far as what the robot needs to look like or what features it should have. I think the eyes are definitely one of the most important things. The fact that it can look at you, make eye contact with you, when you're interacting with it, is something that immediately draws a person in. And it's not about fooling the person. And to give you a short story, when I was building the prototype version of the robot, the one that you may be referring to as the box with a head on it, one of the first things I built was just a set of eyes with a camera on it. So my background is not as an engineer, so I was just trying to get something that worked well enough. I wanted to test it out and make mm-hmm. sure that it really did work. And so the eyes are very simple. Actually, I bought a ping pong ball. I cut it in half, drew a couple black circles on it, mounted the camera above it, the motors to make it move around, and was running running face tracking software on a computer. So I just left it sitting on my desk running for a few days to make sure it was fairly robust. And this was in a robotics lab at MIT. A lot of other roboticists walking by it all the time, working on similar technology, knew exactly what I was doing. Yet I would see people walk by, thing would catch their face, turn towards them, and you see people stop and lean in and wave to it and smile, move their head around. So again, it's not about fooling people. These people knew exactly what this was, but something starts looking at you. You really can't help but to look back. So I think that's one of the most powerful features. Beyond that, being at least suggestive of a human, or at least some sort of creature, I think is important for drawing someone in. But the details of it, whether it's humanoid, whether it's, you know, what we think of as a classic science fiction robot, whether it looks like some sort of pet or other creature, I mean, it depends on the application, because people read these things or view these things somewhat differently. And so depending on what you're trying to elicit, it's the design of the overall character fitting into its personality and what it's supposed to be doing, where it's supposed to be, all make a difference in how people perceive it.
Great. Well, let's maybe speak about a particular application then, your particular application that you're working on right now, and a weight loss coach. Tell us maybe a kind of an overview of this project.
Sure. So the weight loss coach is designed to, as I said, help someone lose weight and keep it off. Now, a little background in terms of weight loss to make this make sense. One thing that we know is the average diet is about 3.5 weeks long. So this tells us something about people in general, in that we're really good at making changes and really bad at sticking with them. And this is universal. It's something that we all talk about in January. By the end of the month, most of us have broken most of our New Year's resolutions. The other thing we know about diets is that is very closely related to this, actually, is that 95% of diets fail. And by fail, we mean that not necessarily that people don't lose weight, but that they will regain some or typically all of the weight they lost, sometimes even more, usually within 6 to 12 months. So people are not good at losing weight and keeping it off. Now, 95% of diets fail, but that means there are 5% of people who succeed. And there's been a lot of research trying to understand what's happening there, who are these people that are actually losing and keeping off weight, and how do they do it. And one of the biggest things they have in common is keeping track of what they're doing. So keeping track on a daily basis of how much I'm eating, how much I'm exercising, keeping track of my weight. And the important thing is not those numbers themselves, but it's thinking about what I'm doing, being cognizant, being aware of how each decision I make throughout the day is going to affect my health, my weight over time. The best way to do this is to have a personal coach, a personal trainer, someone I can talk to every day. If you have that, then you are likely to lose weight and keep it off, but that's really inaccessible to most people for reasons of both time and money. You know, most of us don't have time to have that kind of a meeting every day, and it's very expensive to do that, whether it's a trainer, a dietitian, a nutritionist, a doctor. It's just not accessible to most of us. So what we're building in terms of the coach is something that creates a similar type of relationship. Now, I don't think it's as strong as you would get with a trainer, but you do get the same kind of effects. So what the robot does is have a daily conversation with a person. No two conversations are alike. It's actually creating the conversation on the fly based on a lot of different things having to do with some of them very simple, you know, saying good morning versus good afternoon, but the more interesting and complex ones having to do with the state of the relationship, how I'm doing versus the goals I've set for myself, a number of different factors that a person would take into account when creating this conversation. And at its core, what it's trying to do is help the person keep track of the things that we were just talking about. So again, how much I'm eating, how much I'm exercising, and what my weight is, and then giving some feedback and advice, offering suggestions of things I might do to improve, things that might help keep me motivated, keep me engaged, and therefore keep me on my diet for a much longer period of time than I would do otherwise.
Run us through maybe a typical interaction that you would have with this robot on a regular morning. I know you just said that they're very different every single day, but I guess the main purpose is to keep track of my current weight, my exercise, and my food. What kind of interface is there? How do you input the food that you ate, for example?
Well, the whole thing is structured as a conversation. So everything that we build on the coaches mimics what a human would do. So it starts off by a greeting, you know, if we want to say that we're talking to it in the morning and say something like, good morning, good to see you. Thanks for coming back to talk to me again. Right, that little bit of small talk that we would use in conversations. And this might vary depending on how long you've been interacting with it. If it's one of the first times, just like starting off with a new coach or a doctor, they might be a little more explanatory. You know, hey, here's why we're talking today. If we've been using this thing for a few weeks or a few months, it'll get right down to business. It'll say, you know, tell me how much you've eaten, how much you've exercised. So one of the features of the robot that we have is on the front of it, on the body, there's a touch screen. So when it asks how much you've eaten for breakfast, for example, the first thing it will do is show some of the foods that you commonly eat. So we know that people are fairly habitual. If you think about how many different things you eat for breakfast, it's probably a fairly small number. Mm-hmm. So after you've used the coach for at least a few days, the things that you've commonly eaten are right there on that screen. You press one on the touchscreen and you're done. If it's something that you haven't eaten before or haven't told your coach about, then you can search through a database. There are about 10,000 foods entered in there that you can choose from, and it knows the calorie content of each of those. The idea is to make the interaction as simple and as quick as possible so you can find the things that you've eaten and keep track of it. After you've told it that, it'll ask you about your exercise, and that can be done in a number of ways. You can tell it how much time you spent exercising in general. You can tell it how much time you spent doing specific exercises, depending on how detailed you want to be. You can keep track of information on a pedometer or other activity monitor. And we're working on some that will integrate directly with the system, either to sync with it physically through a USB port or wirelessly, so you can easily keep track of that information and tell your coach about it. After that, it will ask you about your weight about once a week. So we know from research that keeping track of weight once a day is not necessary, but if it's been a week since you've last told her, she'll ask you about that. And then give some feedback and advice. So this gets tailored to each person over time. At first, it'll give general suggestions about diet or exercise. It might give things specific to the season. You know, it's getting cold where you are, so talking about exercise that you can do indoors might give a new recipe that's appropriate for this time of year. One thing that's very important about the advice and the feedback in general is that it's always said in a positive and supportive way. So it's not going to scold you. It's not going to say you did something wrong. But if, for example, I've not done well keeping to my calorie goal this week, it's going to give me a positive suggestion about that. You know, hey, maybe let's work on this over the next few days. You know, we can still get you back on track. After that, it will give have a little more small talk. You know, hey, thanks for coming to see me. Will you come back tomorrow? See you later. Goodbye. So the actual interaction is probably a little bit faster than my description of it just now, maybe 3-4 minutes, depending on how much information you spent entering on a given day. But what we've seen from the study that we did a couple of years ago when people had these in their home is that the fact that it adapted to the person over time, learned about them, helped them keep track of their particular thing, means that the person really created a relationship with the system. So the study that we did was 6 weeks long, and it turned out that one of the challenges at the end of the study was actually getting people to give the robots back. Mm-hmm. So I'd given them to people, they had them in their homes, and when I called to schedule the follow-up visit, people started negotiating on the phone. Mm-hmm. No, can I have it for just 2 more weeks? Oh, she's become like a friend to me. You know, 1 more month, I'd like to keep her. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that even though these interactions are fairly short, they're engaging enough, and they motivate the person, that it does keep them on their diet for a much longer period of time.
That's really interesting, actually. Tell us a bit more about this study. Because I guess it was the first time you used a large amount of these robots out in the real world. Yeah, maybe give us a description. Well, how many robots did you use, and what kind of results did you find with people?
The study was designed to be 6 weeks long because, as I mentioned a minute ago, the average diet is 3.5 weeks. And if you keep someone for over a month, you're more likely to keep them for the long term. We enrolled 45 people in the study. So these are people who were not currently dieting, but who were overweight or obese and wanted to start a diet. And those 45 people were randomly assigned into three groups. So they received one of three things, either the robot, and it functioned as I described, or they got a computer with the same touchscreen as on the robot, running the identical software, so still learned about them, adapted to them over time. And the third group received a pencil and paper log. And the reason for that is this is the way most diets work right now. I start a diet, I'm given this log, and say, write down every day how much I eat, how much I exercise. We actually used the log from Boston Medical Center, which is where we were running this study. There was no human intervention during the study. So the way that it worked is at the beginning of the study, I would visit a person's home, drop off one of these three systems, give them the same instructions regardless of which case they were in, as far as keeping track at least once a day, preferably, of their eating, their exercise, and their weight once a week. At 5.5 weeks, just before the end of the 6-week study, gave people a call to schedule a follow-up visit. And so that's when I saw the first difference, actually. People with the paper or the computer pulled out their calendars. We figured out a time to do the follow-up visit. Very easy. People with the robot had the reaction I told you about a moment ago. They didn't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we looked at a number of different factors in the study. One of the main ones was how long someone stuck with their weight loss program. And so what we saw was that people who had the paper log stuck with it for just over 3.5 weeks. So fit in well with existing research, you know, reasonable control conditions in terms of showing the design of the study. People who had the computer made a slight difference. But that group stuck with it for just over 4.5 weeks. So not a significant difference, but there was some difference between the computer and the paper conditions. Now, between those two groups, you know, most of the follow-up visits couldn't happen exactly at 6 weeks for scheduling reasons. Some of them happened a few days later, some of them up to a few weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the 30 people who had paper or computer, the few people who actually made it to 6 weeks stopped using it that day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people with the paper had a few extra sheets they could keep track for a few more weeks if they wanted to. People with the computer, they would just keep working indefinitely, same as the robot. But not a single person used it a day longer than 6 weeks. So many people in the robot condition did not want to give the robots back to us and kept using them. The average time there was just over 8 weeks. So longer than the study was designed to be, and cut off actually by taking back these systems so I could finish up my PhD and write my dissertation.
Yeah.
So a highly significant difference then in how long people stuck with their systems. The other thing that a little more anecdotally that we saw is when I went back to pick up these systems, there was about an hour process of paper questionnaires and interviews talking to people about their experiences. One of the questions I asked everyone, all 45 people in the study, was, you know, if you talked about whatever this is we gave you over the last month or two, how'd you refer to it? And people with the paper or the computer gave very similar answers, which is, for the most part, well, I didn't really talk about it. Some people called it, you know, my diet, my weight loss program, things you might expect. The people with the robot had very different answers. Their answers were things like Maya or Ingrid or Casper or Robbie. Almost everyone had named it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, when I went back into the home, it wasn't just that plain white robot sitting there. People had dressed them up. They'd put on hats and scarves. One of them was wearing a red feather boa. So
nice.
You know, it was just a short 4 or 5 minute a day interaction. It was a little bit longer with the study version than the commercial version that we're launching now. But still, that was enough that people really developed relationships with these. For the most part, these were working professionals. These were not people who were home alone and confused this as their only friend. You know, they had healthy, productive lives otherwise. But this was still enough of a relationship that, you know, they were really engaged with interacting with this coach.
One thing I find really interesting about all this and what you said is that they somehow, you say, they integrate into people's social networks. What is it, do you think, that is the most important factor that makes people fall in love with these robots?
Well, I think it's really a combination of things, and that's what's important, is there's not just one factor. You know, part of it is the fact that this thing is like any other relationship that the person creates, in that there's some adaptation that happens over time. We like people better who adapt to us a little bit. And that's one thing that this robot is doing. Another is that it fills a need that they want. So at this point in time, when people start using a coach like this, they want to lose weight. And so this fits in and helps them do that. And another part of that is this is something they're doing for themselves. Yeah, this person is someone who wants to make some sort of change. And having this conversation every day is something that helps me do just that. You know, I'm doing something for myself. And so all of these things together create a set of psychological factors that make us really want to engage with this system and do so over an extended period of time. And I think all these things together, plus the algorithms on the, you know, that are running in the robot that help to understand the state of the relationship, create conversations that are appropriate to, you know, this given point in time and how I've been doing on my diet, how well we're getting along with each other. All these things together make a really powerful set of interactions that really keep the person engaged.
What I find really interesting is the learning algorithms you keep speaking about and how the robot adapts to the person that they are working with. Can you maybe expand a little bit on that and what where you got these ideas from? How, what is it based on? What kind of adaptations happen during during the learning process that you spend with the robot?
Well, the ideas come from a number of different sources. So there's a lot that comes from a series of studies I've done looking at human-robot interaction over the last 8 or 9 years. And so that's looking at how people interact with systems like this in general. There are also a lot of things that come from psychology and social psychology, so looking at how we as people create relationships with other people. For example, there's a whole set of things that almost all relationships have in common, regardless of whether it's a friendship, business working relationship, romantic relationship. All of these follow the same trajectory in terms of getting to know each other, build up the relationship, maintain it at some level. So the robot does similar things. And then there are a number of factors that change in the conversation. You know, to give you one example, just looking at length of time that the person and the system have been interacting with one another. And you could apply those to, you know, if you think about a friend that you've known for a while, the way that you talk to them now is probably a bit different than the first time or two you talk to them. So some things change are very simple. So things like, you know, you can refer back to, oh, that conversation that we had last week. Oh, you remember the time we did? So you just have shared experiences in the past. And then some of them are more subtle. You know, the type of language that you use actually changes over time. So your language with a particular person becomes more colloquial, more casual, the longer that you interact with them. So the system does the same sort of things in terms of how it creates a conversation. And there are a lot of little factors like this that all together create a set of algorithms that allow it to generate a conversation at a particular point in time that seems appropriate for that particular interaction.
Well, it sounds like your robot's been quite successful, especially compared to traditional weight loss techniques. Tell us maybe what work there is left to do, and maybe if you can tell us when we can expect to actually be able to buy one of these assistants.
Yeah, great question. So what we're doing right now in terms of the development of the actual commercially available robot is we've taken the algorithms that we developed several years ago and taken the general ideas from the robot that I built for the study. And so that set of robots was put together relatively quickly, enough to show proof of concept. And so we've started from scratch, both in terms of the design of the system as far as what it looks like, as well as the software, so building robust software from the ground up that carries out these conversations, as well as integrates with other devices and systems that are important for weight loss and other healthcare applications. We are starting manufacturing later this fall, and we expect to have the first robots available to people by summer of 2010. So these are actually coming in the relatively near future.
Well, that's very exciting. You'll have to let us know where we can purchase one of these once we start eating too many burgers.
Absolutely. Well, you can go to our website now and sign up for our mailing list, and we'll certainly let you know.
Great, Corey. Well, thank you very much for being on the show, and we wish you the best of luck in your future robotic endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Before we wrap up today's show, we'd like to know if you've been listening carefully to robots throughout this year. For a chance to win two fun robotic kits offered by Didel Essa, we want you to tell us who created the giant six-legged robot that was featured in one of our episodes this year.
You can answer by email at contest@robotspodcast.com. We'll be randomly picking the winner from all the contestants with the correct answer. You have until the end of the year to send us your reply.
And that's it for today's episode of Robots. Our listener feedback survey is still running, so let us know at www.robotspodcast.com/survey what you think about robots and how we can make the show better for you.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Shake off those pounds with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.